Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour at Faith Radio. He is known as the love and respect guy, and he's been helping to strengthen marriages for years. Now he wants to help moms as they raise their sons. We're talking about Dr. Emerson Egerich. Emerson holds a PhD in child and family ecology from Michigan State University, and he's the author of the New York Times bestseller, Love and Respect. Good morning, Emerson. Welcome to Faith Radio.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate the invitation. Been looking forward to it.
I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with your Love and Respect book. Let's see, what year did that come out, Emerson?
2004,
and it helps so many couples. But let me just ask, for those that aren't familiar with the book, can you just give us a summary of your premise in Love and Respect?
Well, both the research as well as Scripture talks about this idea of love and respect. The University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years, and they said, we now know the two key ingredients for successful relationships, and that's love and respect. But they get very gender-specific. That like 85% of those who withdraw during a conflict, kind of stonewall, is the male, because his heartbeats get to 99 beats per minute, and so he has to calm himself down. The women were asked, what's that feel like to you? She said, it's an act of hostility. She couldn't imagine doing that. He, on the other hand, the research I've brought to this is that men do that out of an act of honor. They're trying to de-escalate the conflict. It's not that big of a deal, and so he's honorable. And it begs the question, is it an act of hostility or an act of honor? And it just depends on whether you're videotaping in blue or pink. And they also notice that women tend to be critical and complaining, vast majority in a conflict with a husband. And the men were asked, what's that criticism feel like? And the men said, ongoing criticism feels like an act of contempt. And yet we know that women do it as an act of care. So it raises the question, is it contempt or is it care? It depends on whether you're videotaping in pink or blue. What I found interesting is that 2,000 years ago, Ephesians 5:33 said that a husband must love his wife and a wife must respect her husband. And that second part of the verse had been very controversial because women don't feel respect, that they'll say, I don't feel it, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, he's not superior to me, I'm not inferior to him, I'm not going to be treated like a doormat, he hasn't earned it, he doesn't deserve it, I'm not going to give him license to do what he wants, I'm not going to lose a sense of self or identity, I'm not going to subject myself to emotional abuse. But other than these things, Dr. Emerson, I'm really open to hearing what you have to say about this. So we're up against an attitude that's out there, but to answer your question now in conclusion, I discovered a correlation that when a wife feels unloved, she reacts in a way that feels disrespectful to her husband, though she's not intending to be disrespectful. But it's very natural for her to be disrespectful when she feels unloved. And when a man feels disrespected, if he shuts down, withdraws, it's very natural for him to appear unloving. But he's not trying to be unloving. He would die for this woman if she doesn't kill him first. And so you have this problem, what I call the crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. And when the issue isn't the issue and you see the spirit of your spouse deflate, this is probably the issue. And that's been the basic message, Bill.
And it's an important message, and I'm so thankful that you have brought it to the Christian community and to all of us, regardless of whether a person is a follower of Christ. This is just such critical information. Now, you have this new book out. It is geared specifically for moms, and I want to share an important statement you make in the book. You say, we've coached fathers on how to love their daughters, but we've not coached mothers on how to meet the need a boy has to feel respected for who he is. So explain why some moms are missing the boat in this area.
Well, first of all, it was mothers that left our Love and Respect marriage conferences and said, wow, what you just said about my husband, I'll bet this applies to my son. And they went home and applied what I call respect talk, and it blew them away because the number one desire mothers have is to connect. You'll hear women say, we're connecting, or I don't feel connected. To connect is a huge value. And they applied the respect talk, and they suddenly realized they were connecting with their sons in deeper and better ways. He was reacting less negatively, and some said this revolutionized our relationship. And they wrote me to tell me, and the book consists of hundreds of testimonies of mothers who have given voice to this. And so mothers listening need to know it. Plus, it was Sarah, my wife, we've been married since 1973, who put me onto this early on because she discerned that this would apply to sons. But to your question, most mothers listening say, wait a minute, you're talking about respecting my boy. He needs to respect me. He needs to respect me. And so there is this idea that we have is that the boy needs to be more loving. He needs to be more respectful. I'm a loving mother. I'm motivated by love. It's all about love, and he needs to be more loving, and he needs to be more respectful. And fathers need to be more loving toward their daughters. That's the overall narrative, and it's healthy, and it's good. But it's not the whole picture when it comes to our sons. Because at age 4, mothers begin to realize that little baby is now turning into all boy. And from age 4 on, she's trying to do a dance differently. For instance, she can vent at her teenage daughter, and the daughter, and she will end up sitting on the bed, legs crossed, both sharing their emotions, and then the daughter says, well, I'm sorry, Mom, I shouldn't have said that. Then the mother will say, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said what I did. Will you forgive me? The daughter says, of course, Mom. Then they hug, maybe there's some tears, and they're laughing again, and they're good to go. The next night, she vents in the very same way toward her son, her teen son, who shuts down, withdraws, gets angry, and doesn't open up. And she's totally confused as to why it is that he's not responding to her. And somehow she thinks she's failing as a mother, and she doesn't exactly know how to access him. But that's because the brain research has pointed out, and this is powerful, that relationship conflict is what drives a teen girl's stress system wild. She needs to be liked and socially connected, whereas the research has found that a teen boy needs to be respected. And I would add, respected for who he is as a person, apart from his performance. That you respectfully confront that which is not respectable. There is this attitude of positive regard toward the spirit of the boy while you're very upset with him. Because he has a tendency to interpret what we call the gestures that a mother makes as contempt. Her eyes darken, the face turns sour, the hand on the hips, the scolding finger, the sigh. The head goes back, and when estrogen kicks in, the word choice of contempt is incredible. But the daughter intuitively knows what Mom is doing. She's a woman who understands what Mom is doing as a woman. A boy thinks you're using this topic as another opportunity to send me a message that you find me inadequate as a person and you don't respect me or like me for who I am.
Wow, that is powerful. We're going to unpack this a bit more with our guest, Dr. Emerson Egerich, after this quick break here on Faith Radio. It's 15 past the hour. Stick with us.
Daily encouragement and insight. Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Welcome back. 17 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Dr. Emerson Egerich. He wrote the book Love and Respect and has a new book out, for moms and their sons, and the importance of moms respecting their sons, especially when they get to be teenagers. And Emerson, you say God has designed boys with 6 important desires. Can you briefly share what those are and how moms can affirm those desires in their sons?
Right. I had the privilege of studying the Bible 30 hours a week for nearly 20 years as a senior pastor. And during a period of time, I looked at everything the Bible says about men and women. For instance, in marriage, 1 Peter 3 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, since she's a woman, precisely because of her gender. And you see these verses for the masculine as well. 1 Corinthians talks about, act like men, be strong. And the question is, what does that mean? Or when Paul said, I came among you, Thessalonians, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. We know all the research points out, off the charts, women are nurturers. It's within the nature of a woman to nurture. She has the virtue of caring, and that's not going to go away any day soon. It is a gift that God has given humanity, this wonderful virtue of nurture and love and care. But the Bible also unpacks what we see in men. For instance, Adam was created to cultivate and maintain the garden in paradise before Eve was created. Adam was designed to work. And I always ask this question, what's the first question that every man asks another man when they meet for the first time? And the answer is, in the conferences we do, everybody shouts out, what do you do? We identify ourselves in the field by what we do. In academia, it's called the instrumentality of the male. And he has to have a hoe or a rake, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. Well, all of these passages I unpacked, plus the research because of my academic background, looked at what is it about our boys that would be different from our girls, and how do you speak into that, what I call respect talk? How do you communicate to him along that line? And we've unpacked that, plus what God has said in his word about how to parent. And I put those as an overlay, and we now have kind of a book that's an encyclopedia for every age and stage on how to use respect talk. And a mother can come back to that as the boy progresses along. It's a resource that gives her examples on how to say things beyond her words of love. She's always going to communicate love. That's who God made her to be, and she must continue to do that. But we talk about inserting a few vocabulary words here and there. For instance, when she's really mad, this is not being, you know, just robotic and mechanical and just singing your son's praises. No, he's disobedient. I went to military school for 5 years from age 13 to 18 because I was disobedient. And so boys are going to be rebellious, as are girls. But how do you do it? You might say something like this: I'm not trying to show you disrespect when I confront your misbehavior. I'm seeking to address the issue at hand, okay? I do not respect what you did, but that differs from my belief in you and the respect I feel for the man I envision you will become. Now, let's take a five-minute break here to calm down and revisit this matter respectfully. Okay, that's what we call respect talk, and boys will engage that. But when you come across in a way that says, I have disdain towards you, I despise you, I don't respect you, you're going to lose his heart. That's the same as a father saying, hey, I'm harsh and angry with my daughter, but it works. Well, but every mother would be up in arms about this. And mothers say, well, the only way I can get him to do anything is to show him disrespect. Well, that's comparable. That's a moral equivalency. You might get him to obey short term, but you're going to lose his heart, and you will not connect with him at that deeper level. Boys filter your reactions through the respect grid. And even though you don't intend to be disrespectful, that's how he's filtering it in a way that your daughter does not. So if you just make a slight adjustment and let him know you're not trying to diss him, that you're not trying to dishonor him, though you don't respect what he did, you believe in who he is, he'll stay much more connected to you.
One of the things I like that you said there is you're casting, the mom is casting a positive vision for what she sees in her son in the future. So it's, yes, you address the behavior at hand, whatever that might be, you know, breaking a rule or doing something, you know, that's disobedient. You don't want to just ignore that. You need to address it. But then also, you know, you can do better than this. I see, you know, a great future for you, the man that you can become. Boy, boys really respond to that, don't they, Emerson?
Huge. And you caught that very well, Bill. That's exactly right. And that's the kind of language that we need to bring to the table, even when you're spitting mad. And it's okay to be upset with him. He knows what he did was wrong. But what we have to distinguish. Jesus said to the three disciples who fell asleep with him at the nadir of his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he came to them, he said, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. He did not show contempt toward their spirit. He confronted the failure. The flesh is weak. He was very honest about why this problem existed with them, but he never showed disdain. And one of the things, particularly single mothers, teachers have been telling me that single mothers go between hostility and appeasement, hostility and appeasement. And there is this teeter-totter experience. And what they need to do is be more balanced and have more confidence that the respect talk will achieve your objectives while you're expressing your upset with your son. But you've got to do it the way that I'm suggesting in order to maintain that connection. A mother wrote me, she said, if my son does something that is not worthy of respect, I can quickly fall into this trap of disappointment and even disdain. There's the disrespect. It then gives me a feeling of, oh, he might never change. Then I feel like a bad mom because I feel indirectly that his behavior is somehow my fault or reflects on me. And after this, I probably give off this attitude of disappointment. And I know only too well that my son can tell. The very hardest thing then is to see your son defeated and down. And then she says this, as mothers, we practice and look for ways to love. But maybe more importantly, we should be looking for opportunities and ways to respect our sons.
Well said. Once again, the book is called Mother and Son, The Respect Effect. Dr. Emerson Eggerich, thanks so much for your time, Emerson. I'm excited about this new book, and I pray that it gets into a lot of hands of a lot of moms, and that we're going to see some sons responding positively because of it.
Thank you, Dr. Bill. And they can go to loveandrespect.com for more resources and information. And our Facebook, we have almost 2 million following us, and we're giving out a lot of free information. Loveandrespect.com. They can find our social media. We'd love to have them join us.
Cool. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
God bless.
24 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.